How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. The holiday weekend has come and gone, and we are back in the swing of things again. And boy, are we back into the swing of things. We've got Raw tonight. We've got SmackDown tomorrow. We have got the debut of 205 Live on Tuesday. We have a UFC show this weekend. We have a UFC show next weekend. And I think every weekend until the end of time. We have a WWE pay-per-view on Sunday. It's crazy as we head here towards the Christmas holiday. WWE tonight from Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, the wrestler, is defending the WWE Women's title against Sasha Banks. Twice now, she has defended against Sasha Banks, and twice, Sasha Banks beat her on television. Charlotte, of course, still undefeated on pay-per-view. And it's very easy to keep that streak going if you keep losing the belt on Raw. Do I think she's going to lose the title a third time on Raw tonight? I think that is unlikely, but there are a lot of questions going into the show tonight, such as, will Ric Flair return? Will Ric Flair help Charlotte retain the title? Will Sasha Banks turn heel? Will they do a double turn? There are a million different ways they could go. But obviously, Charlotte has got bigger fish to fry in the near future than Sasha Banks. At least if you've been watching WWE television, Charlotte Bailey seems to be the direction, so I presume Charlotte's going to retain tonight. The tag team titles are on the line tonight, as The New Day faces Anderson and Gallows for about the 50th time, and they, of course, are heading towards a record themselves. Will they change the titles tonight or not? We got a lot to talk about here today. Tons of news. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. If you want to give us a call, we'll be taking calls later, 844-411-5411. You can send text messages to 425-780-7566. I will be reading those throughout the show today. All of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And I'll make this quick. It's Cyber Monday. There are less than 12 hours remaining to take advantage of our Cyber Monday sale. One full month of unlimited access to the website for $3.99. And I was looking through the archives here, and if we don't count the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, or anything else, we had 73 audio shows posted in October, 83 in September, 81 in August, 111 in July. Nearly 1,000 radio shows so far in 2016 with a month left. And by my calculations, it appears that I have been underselling the website. And if you want the full archives, which you can grab for $3.99 with our Cyber Monday special, there are over 10,000 radio shows in the archives dating back to 2005. As a subscriber, you get all of the new shows. We do 2 to 3 new shows a day. You get every archived show, all 10,000, you will have immediate access to. You get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which comes out every single week, back issues, which come out every single week, all of the archives. There are hundreds and hundreds of newsletters, Figure Four Weekly, and so much more. And you can get all of it unlimited for $3.99 if you sign up within the next 11 hours or so, because the sale ends at the end of the day. These sales are very, very rare. It's not a deal where every couple months we do this sale. It's very rare. So if you have not signed up, if you're a new or returning subscriber, $3.99 gets you a full month of unlimited access to do whatever you want. Listen to whatever you want. All of the new shows, all of the old shows. WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. Or my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. I have linked it up there as well. But I encourage you to sign up. You will never, let me repeat that, you will never be able to go through everything in the archives. I literally think it's impossible. You'd have to quit your job, get divorced, the whole nine yards. I recommend none of that. But if you wanted to, there's 10,000 shows that you could start listening to, all between, I'd say, 40 minutes and an hour and a half. There's a lot of content. If you're a wrestling fan, it's the best deal ever in the world.
It is, but I think you're underselling people. Like, you know, it may not be the worst thing in the world if they decided to really buckle down and want to listen to everything that's in the website, because they would have to keep themselves incredibly physically fit as well as mentally fit, at least mentally fit enough to keep their subscription going and continue to listen to everything over and over again, because you'll have to live, I believe, until infinity to try to listen to all of the stuff. So maybe you're going to keep somebody, keep their health going, keep themselves alive and full of spirit, trying to reach out to that goal to listen to everything that's on the website.
Well, in the meantime, in between subscribing to the website, we got Raw tonight and we got SmackDown tomorrow and we got 205 Live. The Raw show tonight has got two championship matches, Charlotte versus Sasha for the women's title, The New Day versus Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows for the tag team titles. No Brock Lesnar, no Goldberg, although interestingly enough, they're doing a poll on WWE.com. Do you want to see a third Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar match? For you modern fans, that means a second one. They're talking about a rematch of their Survivor Series match. They wrestled once in 2003 or 2004. Right now, 49% don't want to see a third match.
No.
51% do want to see a third match. I don't even know why they bothered. I guess the idea is to get the plant the seed in people's heads that you're going to see Goldberg again, but that's an interesting poll. 51% want to see a rematch. 49% do not. We've got the 205 Live premiere tomorrow night after SmackDown. So if 3 hours of WWE on Monday is not enough for you, you can get 3 hours on Tuesday as well. NXT is
4 hours. 4 hours. Because if you're watching SmackDown and now you're going to have to watch 205 Live, you're definitely staying around to watch Talking Smack.
I don't know about definitely. After 3 hours... Talking Smack's 30 minutes, by the way. So three and a half actual time. There's one other thing that I want to mention here before we get going on discussions. This is a question. It's not a poll, but it is a question for you, the listeners, and you can contact me via Twitter at Brian Alvarez or on my text message line, 425-780-7566. This is what I need to know from everybody. Tonight after Raw, there's even more because you can go on the WWE Network. And the newest edition of WWE Storytime is going to be available for you. It's a cartoon where the wrestlers tell wacky stories. It's Storytime. They aired one of these after Survivor Series. Now, if I went through and counted all of the text messages and all of the emails and all of the phone calls and all of the ways that people have contacted me since Survivor Series, it's thousands. But in that entire period of time and in all of those contacts, I had one single solitary person contact me about Storytime. They sent a question to the mailbag, and they wanted to know if the wrestlers made up the stories or if they were scripted for them. I don't know the answer. But the point is, I've mentioned this before, if I were an investor in WWE, which I am not, and I saw all of these subscribers, the WWE Network, all paying $9.99. And I looked at how much money they were spending on the network every month. Red flags would be raised. Why are you spending so much money on programming? And the idea that we are spending money on WWE Storytime, which it appears nobody's watching. Maybe they are. I've gotten no feedback on it with the exception of one email. Are you guys watching Storytime? Is Storytime worth whatever they're spending on it? This has been my question now for 3 years. All of this programming that they spend money on, is it worth it? When I look at all the money that could be made in pure profit from this WWE network, and they're sinking so much into it for stuff like Storytime, it seems like a complete waste of money.
I still don't understand why they didn't go more with licensing agreements like doing doing like a WWE Jeopardy, where you go and you buy the license to use Jeopardy, like Sports Jeopardy, the Dan Patrick Show, which and things like that, where it was more kind of goofy programming, but it's more stuff that you could kind of get away with doing in-house, or you might get help with, you know, with the help of a sponsor or somebody that wants to tie themselves into it. I don't know why either. Was Camp WWE such a success that they had story time? You know, they had to do story time. Was story time already ready to go at the beginning? Is that why? And it just took a while for it to come out? Because I'm like you. I don't know why they've made some of the decisions they have where I know that what they said was nobody was watching like the roundtables with Jim Ross and Pat Patterson and stuff like that. But essentially what you've done with what it sounds like story time is and what some other things are is you've just done a more expensive version of the thing that you said didn't work. And I just don't understand why they're not accentuating some of the positives that they have in-house and doing some things more that way without spending as much. I don't know. You can still get content out of it. But again, with nobody spending any money on advertising dollars, I mean, what are you really trying to get across anyway?
This person here wants to know, do you think the WWE Network can ever reach over 2 million paid subscribers? With WrestleMania coming, I imagine it's going to be one of the best cards of all time. How will WWE ever grow and get that number? Because I believe a lot of their attractions, such as Taker, Goldberg, Triple H, might not be there for WrestleMania 34, 35. How will it ever get over this 1.5 million hump? Well, I'll give you the short answer here because we're about to go to commercial. Yes, they could absolutely do 2 million. They could probably do 3 million. But the issue is, there are a lot of issues. One of the issues is, there's too much free programming. There's too much. There's 5 hours of free WWE programming every single week. The idea of a paid platform for more is that you're not getting enough and you want more. But there's more than enough. And so the only way to get more people to subscribe to that network is to make the pay-per-views so enticing that people have to buy. And they're not doing that right now. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Getting a lot of feedback here about story time. This person says, WWE needs to spend less time on new content and spend more time making the current content they have good. Well, this goes back to the main issue, which is that Raw is too long, and nobody can make a 3-hour weekly wrestling show good on a consistent basis. Most of the time, it's going to be too long. Every now and then, it's going to be good, but nothing can be done about that. That's a different issue. Laura here says, WWE story time is a waste of money, but it is good short programming. This person notes, story time is not even a full series. It's a 10 to 15 minute segment at best. Well, that doesn't mean it's free. It still costs money to get the studio, get the guys, record the audio, make the cartoon, produce it. It's not free.
You know what would be cheaper? Giving the Dudleys a 6-pack of beer and saying, tell me some ECW stories that we haven't heard before, that just won't get us kicked off our own network. Don't make it that bad, but, you know, do something like that. And maybe, again, I like those things with Jim Ross. I like those sit-downs. I find them to be informative. I like history. You know, it's one of the reasons I'm here, you know, with what Dave writes about in The Observer and all that stuff. I'm a fan of that. So I don't need a lot of bells and whistles. Give me a good story. And they're spending money where they don't need to when they're at a point with this thing where they know investors are looking at it. They're not coming close to the claims they made as far as subscribers go. And, you know, to that point that the guy asked about, could they get over 2 million? Sure, they could. They could. It's going to take a long time to probably do that with where they're at now. But that's a number that's at least believable, whereas 5 million or whatever it was that they touted isn't believable. And when you're not getting 5 million people to buy it, and you have bastardized your pay-per-view, and you have spent a lot of money that you're not seeing a return on, just be careful about spending any more of it on things like this when you have so much in your archives and there's so many people. You could ask 15 people right now who are associated with wrestling, hey, do you want to come on the network and talk about some things or do some things, you know, for not a whole lot of money? And they would all jump at it because they love wrestling. You know, and nope, and there are going to be some guys, obviously, that aren't going to do it for free or anything like that, or are going to want certain things. But you're going to spend a lot less on doing something like that than you are on some of the things that they've done. Not that all of it's been bad, but like you said, this is an example of spending money when you don't have to. And what people are obviously pointing out is they're for the most part, I doubt they're watching.
It's all still unneeded. I mean, those things are cool and everything like that, but it's unneeded. I mean, the network is a replacement for their pay-per-view business. And what was pay-per-view? Let's go back to the birth of pay-per-view. Let's go back to closed circuit. What was it? Well, they had a television show, and they built up a match you really wanted to see, and if you couldn't get to the building, you could go and watch it on closed circuit, or you could go order it on pay-per-view. That was the whole point of closed circuit and pay-per-view. Now we've got a network. They're giving you more pay-per-views than ever, but if they're not giving you a compelling reason to watch those pay-per-views, I mean, believe me, by far, the most watched thing on the WWE Network is the new pay-per-views and the new live or taped wrestling shows like the NXT show, and we'll see about 205 Live. I don't even think Cruiserweight Classic was in that, in the running for that, but the archives are awesome. I love the archives. I would pay only for the archives. But people like me and you, we're in the minority. If they want to get to 3 million or 4 million, then they need to target the folks who aren't going to buy the WWE Network for $9.99 a month to get the archives of the old stuff. They've got to create a compelling storyline on television. Get you to want to buy one pay-per-view a month, not two, put all of their efforts behind one pay-per-view with all of their stars instead of splitting the roster in half and trying to sell you on a Raw pay-per-view and a SmackDown pay-per-view. It's been months we've seen that's not working, and they need to get you to want to pay money like in the old days for closed circuit or pay-per-view, which today the WWE Network. And yes, they should have the archives. UFC Fight Pass is mostly about the archives. They got 500,000 subscribers. They don't put one pay-per-view on Fight Pass. Not one. Now, if they did, obviously, they'd sell a lot more Fight Pass subscriptions, but they're making plenty of money with just archives and the occasional live event from various different promotions. It's not nearly as many people purchasing it as the WWE Network, but it's a different business model, and it's a successful business model. This person here says, I would rather listen to an hour of Ryan and Cumberland than watch WWE Story Time. Oh. Wow.
Man.
This person says, I have had the WWE Network since day one. I have never watched any of their shows except for a few JBL interviews, maybe save money producing shows, and add more of the libraries they already own. Hey, listen, I'd like to see more libraries, but that's not getting you above 3 million.
No. But, you know, it does. But as far as marketing goes, that was the thing that stuck out at the very beginning was you have all of this stuff. You have a fan base that is lapsed and is gone. And in some cases, you know, you're never going to get some of those people back. But you have so much at your disposal to spark a memory in so many other people, and they didn't even think about chasing that because they compared it to their video on demand numbers and 24/7 and other things that basically were a self-fulfilling prophecy. They didn't push them, they didn't treat them like a big deal, they just had them and threw them out there, and a lot of people didn't even know where they were there. They didn't get attention, and WWE went, well, nobody's watching this stuff. It's like, you know, if you put them in order, if you had Jim Ross on to introduce what is going on, this is what you're going to see on this, and get people kind of involved in it, new fans, and try to get some old fans back, that wouldn't have been the worst idea in the world. I'm not saying it was going to save the network or be that dramatic as far as numbers go, but it's not even something that they bothered doing at the beginning. They sure as hell aren't doing it now.
Want to send out best wishes to Mickey James, who tweeted, lifting up my baby sis today as she starts her chemo. Remission for almost 2 years, and it's back. So, best wishes to her. Follow Mickey on Twitter and send your positive thoughts.
I hope she's back.
I think she'll be back.
I really do. And again, for that whole women's division, talking about Charlotte and Sasha too, and that's one thing tonight. I hope they don't change the belt again.
They're not changing it tonight. There's no way they could do it a third time in the span of 6 months. That's ridiculous.
And the thing is, especially when you don't need to. They didn't need to
the first time.
Well, I know, but my end game, I would assume, and what their end game is going to be, unless they're completely bat crap insane, would be Bayley and Charlotte at WrestleMania. I know in WWE...
clearly they're doing that earlier than that, dude.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. You can do that. I mean, heaven forbid that you tell a story, and I know I'm not saying go back to the 70s or anything like that, but we're almost into December. I know you have the one pay-per-view in December, I guess on December 18th or whatever it is, the Roadblock show, which is going to be for the Raw brand. But then you go into the Royal Rumble. So you can start this story up and have it going into the Rumble, and it's a pretty short shot from there to WrestleMania. So concentrate on doing this. Get Sasha out of the mix, or make her a supporting player in Bayley and Charlotte. But please go that direction. And I hope they actually have something really good to kind of lead up, because, again, I'm not saying go back into the past and have such a rigid storyline or anything, but I think today's fans can handle a 4-month storyline of Bayley, you know, being built up and getting what she, you know, what people want her to get at WrestleMania.
Caller, you're on the air. What's going on?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
Am I right or what, Jim?
Do what now?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Just one quick shout-out to Sue Young, who won the Queens of Combat Championship over Taylor Hendricks.
I was just going to talk about that, but thank you, Jim.
Now, about Charlotte and Sasha and all that tonight, can you handle... I know they think wrestling companies think we've got very short memories, but Ric Flair, Charlotte reunion.
I've been talking about that earlier today. I think they should do it.
I think so, too. And
I mean,
and
Dana Brooke isn't doing a thing for this act.
Mm-hmm.
Flair,
The thing about it is, Brooke, well, I understand Vince still likes Brooke.
Okay, here's the problem, though, Jim. Can I talk about the problem? Can I play my own devil's advocate?
Okay.
Okay, first off, unless they're doing a double turn, which I don't think is out of the question, I think for sure that Sasha Banks is turning heel sometime soon. I realize I've said that for a while, but she's totally miscast as a babyface. I know people cheer for her and everything like that, but I watch her interviews, and she's so unlikable as a character when she talks, and I think she could be a great heel. Now, they're in Charlotte, and there's no way that you can bring Ric Flair back in Charlotte and have him booed. There's no way. I'm sure Charlotte's going to go out tonight and she's going to cut a heel promo on the town. Listen, I've been wrong a million times. I don't think it's going to work. It's just, Flair is a legend, an all-time legend, maybe the greatest of all time. And if Charlotte is going to remain a heel, then if you bring back Ric Flair and put him on TV with Charlotte every week, she's going to be a babyface. They're going to cheer for Ric. Or you have to go back to what they were doing before and she's just got to berate him every week. But we already saw that. So there is a potential issue with bringing back Ric Flair. You can't just bring him back. You have to have some sort of plan, which may be giving them too much credit. But Flair back is, babyface city.
Well, and Flair's got to stick to that plan, too. So because you got to then bank on Flair. You know, and again, this is, I'm not trying to throw shade on him or anything. Well, maybe a little bit. But... Again, I don't. Ric Flair can make hits here and there, but he does not have to be a consistent part of this story either. You know what I mean? If they want to bring him back and he can appear at the pay-per-views or on a TV when you need him to, standing there behind his daughter, fine. But I just, too much Flair, it won't be fair to anybody else.
Wow. I disagree with that, Jim. Hurry, Jim.
One last quick thing. I want to hear y'all's opinion. What do you think of the heel turn on Dalton Castle?
All right, stand by. We got to head to a break, Jim. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. All right, regarding Jim's phone call before the break, I have not seen the heel turn on Dalton Castle because my stupid DVR updated, and even though all of my shows are on the schedule, it's not recording any of them except Raw, ironically.
Oh, man.
Apparently it thinks, well, this one's long. It must be priority. Not recording SmackDown. I got to reprogram everything. Luckily, I can watch SmackDown on Hulu. Ring of Honor? I went to watch it last night and nothing. The problem was I had old Ring of Honors on there. And so when I looked at my recordings, I figured it was recording. But it wasn't until I went to watch it that I realized these are all old. It hasn't been recording in a month now. Or however long it's been. So no, I have not seen it yet. But there is a Ring of Honor Final Battle pay-per-view coming up this Friday. So I'm sorry, Jim, I can't answer your question right there. Do have a couple of text messages here, a lot of them actually. If you want to send us a text message, 425-780-7566. Toll free, give us a call, 844-411-5411. This person here says, all I want from Raw tonight is Sasha to lose to Charlotte so we can move on from this seemingly never-ending feud. Sasha is a terrible babyface. Hopefully they turn her soon. She would be much better as a heel.
I know a lot of people don't like hearing that, and they'll even use like a John Cena type of excuse or something like that, but she's just so much better as a heel. She really, really is. And it's not that she's a terrible babyface or anything like that, but I mean, as far as her strengths go, it's like Ric Flair. It's so much better being a heel than he ever was a babyface. So, I don't know.
This is from WrestlingObserver.com. Sad news. Haruka Aigen, an executive director of Pro Wrestling NOAH, that was also a full-time wrestler for 40 years, was still doing six-mans until just a few years ago, if I recall correctly, passed away at the age of 70 at his home. Little information is out on the death at this point, other than the promotion reporting it, and Great Kojika, a contemporary, also releasing the information.
Yeah.
Aigen was a preliminary wrestler best known in the glory days of All Japan for the spit spot, where he'd be chopped hard in the chest and would spit into the crowd.
Or into the guy's face.
Let me say one thing before you go on to it.
Go ahead.
For those who've never seen it.
It's so great.
He got spit over like Jericho got the list over. Right?
Yeah.
Is there a better analogy? It was so over. These are the things that I love in wrestling. Like, this guy was really old and he couldn't do anything, but he got over a spot where he would be chopped and he would spit high into the air. Fans, I swear to God, would bring umbrellas because when the spot was coming, they'd all open up their umbrellas because this dude was about to spit high into the air into the front row. It was awesome.
Yes. And when he'd wrestle in these comedy matches with another one of his contemporaries, Mitsu Momota, who, again, these guys go back to, they don't go back to like Inoki and Baba. They go back to what created Inoki and Baba, to Rikidozan, to the JWA. And Momota was the son of Rikidozan, and they, I think it was at the NOAH Dome show in 05, I think it was, where they did the giant swing still, and they did the spit spot, where the chop came and everybody knew where it was going and it was going in Momota's face and it was still the most awesome thing that you've seen. And if you, again, it was just one of those things where when you take it for what it is, it allowed you to put your brain on hold. Here were these two old guys and you knew everything that they were going to do, but it was just awesome. And this is a non sequitur for the most part, but it just this weekend or on Sunday morning, the All Japan show that took place, where you had Dory Funk Jr. wrestling, you had Great Kabuki, who's 68 years old, both of whom took bumps. Again, it was only like one, but it was still, it was amazing. Actually, in Dory's case, it was more than one. But it was just so great to see those guys out there. And I don't want to see, you know, anybody get hurt or anything like that. But it just is so great as a wrestling fan to have a little bit of that stuff. And we're such a bitter world with wrestling. And there's so many polarizing opinions and all this sort of stuff and oversaturation and all that. It's nice to be a fan. And those matches with Momota and Aigen being involved in the comedy match, it always gave you an opportunity to do that. So hopefully Godspeed to him, and I will cherish those goofy memories that I had of him being a comedy wrestler.
To the phones, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, guys. This is Daniel from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes.
Had a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
The biggest thing that drives me nuts about the network is just kind of like what you were bringing up about the animation. That stuff's got to be expensive to hear stories that 8 of 10 people watching the network have probably already heard before, or it's just like there's no common sense when it comes to the network. You've got these guys that tapings for 4 or 5 hours before they start. Why can't you sit them down and have them do commentary or talk about 3 of their favorite matches and have them do commentary about them and what the matches meant to them? Or like Ride Along was a perfect example. These guys have got to travel, put a camera in a vehicle and let some real personality show. And my one question was, has there been any more talk about any different promotions coming on the network?
I want to thank you very much for the call. I have not heard any news of late about any new tape libraries. That doesn't mean that they're not working on anything, but I haven't heard anything. You know, he mentioned Ride Along, and I know there were ride-alongs that people thought were great. I know there were ride-alongs that people thought weren't so great. And I guess it's not that expensive to set up all of the equipment inside a car. But, serious question here. Why did it have to be in a car?
Because it was...
Set up a backdrop backstage at Raw? The guys show up, they walk in, they sit down, they tell their stories.
Well, because you need a little bit of a hook to the show, and they had table for three already.
All right, fine, Mike. Why does story time need to be animated then? Ric Flair just tell some stories?
There you go. And for that, I have no good answer, because all you are doing then is spending
money. I knew
I'd
get one.
Yes, I will give you that one, absolutely. And yeah, like, you know, again, it's like Daniel was saying, it doesn't need to be done. And it's a waste of money at a time where you don't need to be wasting any money. And if people aren't watching these things, then don't try to put a shiny coat of paint on them by animating them. Try something else completely different then, but don't spend a whole lot of money doing it because you're not getting anything in return. To me, forget about what happened with this show or that show or this idea or this promotion being on the network, which, by the way, if I'm WWE at this point, I wait and see what happens with Flow. And I see how much, because they were an investor in Flow. I would sit and see what happens with them before I do anything, because if it doesn't work for Flow, I think WWE should look at this like a lot of businesses look at other things. Let somebody else take the risk and then see how you can swoop in and try to make it yours after the fact. I don't think they should be spending any money on any other promotions right now unless you can make a big enough splash. But back to the, you know, whatever happened to thing. Whatever happened to getting sponsors for the network? There were little things here and there, but I think that's a really bad sign, too, if I was an investor.
Change.
But that's the thing. If I was an investor, I'd be more upset about that. Forget about what they're spending on product. What happened to you trying to get some people on board to spend some money on this WWE network that you have?
Mike, let me tell you something. The amount of money that investors or advertisers are already paying for Raw, which is a highly rated show on over-the-air television... The amount of money they would pay to be on a network with 1.5 million subscribers that you must subscribe to even see the ad.
I mean,
they would make less money than they spent on one episode of Ride Along, I'd bet.
Oh,
chump
I know.
Change.
But I'm just saying, you know, from a PR, from a lot of points of view, boy, what you still got to go out there and try to hustle that, and I'd be trying to put a happy face on that.
This person says, my early prediction to win the Royal Rumble is Chris Jericho. Thoughts? My thoughts are, don't put any money on that.
Mm-mm.
Jericho's on a month-to-month contract. I'd be very surprised and shocked if he won the Royal Rumble. This person says, as a new subscriber this year, $10.99 is a steal, let alone $3.99. Excellent content. That's right, Black Friday. The deal goes for the next 10 hours. Front page of WrestlingObserver.com. A couple of MMA notes and we'll go to the phones. First off, I don't think we mentioned this yesterday, but Conor McGregor's been stripped of the featherweight title. Jose Aldo, who last we heard wanted to quit, is now the featherweight champion. They're doing Max Holloway and Anthony Pettis at UFC 206 for the interim featherweight title, even though there is an active champion, provided he does not retire. So that's a pointless belt right there.
Talk about a long way to get around to basically just having some elimination matches. Just say what it is. Say they're going to have a match and the winner faces... Aldo.
You know what? As much as I think that this is a completely pointless belt, and I don't have any idea why they're doing it, our main man, Khabib Nurmagomedov, who was so angry that he could not get a championship match against Conor McGregor, that he flat out said, if I don't get this match, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit
Everybody
mixed martial
kidding.
Arts. I'm walking out. Well, Khabib has now said, you know what? If you... just give me a fight for an interim belt, I'll stick around.
Oh.
So apparently that interim belt means something to these guys.
Come on, Beeb. Well, what it could mean, look, what it does probably mean, technically, not only does UFC get a chance to sell a quote-unquote championship match on a pay-per-view or a TV show, what it might get these guys is, like, legitimate extra money from Reebok. So in that case, I'm not blaming those dudes for that, but, I mean, come on now.
Khabib says, if I get a fight with Tony Ferguson and it's for the interim championship, I will stay.
I'm fine with that. As long as I don't see Connor and Diaz, because I don't care what happens there, I still want to see Connor against the winner of Khabib and Ferguson. I'm completely happy with that. Just make sure that they're on the same show together. Book it together. Don't put Ferguson and Khabib on some stupid FS1 show. Put them on both on the same and have whoever wins the Khabib-Ferguson fight come out to get in Connor's face, whether Connor wins or loses against Nate. In fact, even if he loses, that's even more of a reason, especially if Khabib brings him out to get right in Connor's face as he's laying there. That's what everybody wants, right?
Sure.
Exactly.
This person says, is there going to be a Slammies this year? I actually think there may be a Slammy show in like 2 weeks, so maybe they'll announce that tonight. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
What's up, guys? It's Eric in the Go.
Yes, Eric in the Go.
Hey, so listening to you guys earlier talk about the archives and the network, I think you understand the archives a little bit, like you were underselling your own archives earlier. But the funny part is, we'll never know because they never sell the archives on Raw. Like, and then when you click the network, there's like a 5-second commercial where, like, they'll say sometime there'll be like that will be like Nitro exclusively on the network. Well, if I got the network, I already know that Nitro's on the network. Like, you know, it would be great if they would promote that Nitro's on the network when Goldberg makes his 12-year return, you know, and you got all these lapsed fans. Like, I think they think that everybody already knows that everybody watching Raw already knows the network. You kind of feel what I'm saying?
Yes, Eric, I want to thank you very much for the call. I got to address this. We got about a minute, so I got to go quick. Here's the thing with these old archives. They do a horrible job promoting that you can get every episode of Nitro, every episode of ECW, or whatever the number count is. I don't watch the ECW show, but there's like 4 years of NWA World Championship Wrestling, which is awesome. I review it every week with Vinny for subscribers. They do a terrible job promoting all of this. But Dave has the top 10 most watched shows on the network in The Observer every week, and it's rarely an old show. So part of it is probably a self-fulfilling prophecy. They don't plug it enough, and so people don't watch it. But part of it is also that the people that get the network don't watch it, which is sad. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com. 10 hours left if you're listening live. If you're listening on tape, on Memorex, you got a lot less than that. WrestlingObserver.com, our Cyber Monday sale ends tonight at midnight. I recommend you check it out if you have ever thought for even 1 second about subscribing to WrestlingObserver.com. Today you can do so for not $10.99, not $7.99, not $5.99, but $3.99, a full month of unlimited access. Not only all of the new shows, 2 to 3 brand new shows a day. We had Brian and Vinny last night reviewing old NWA. We had Wrestling Observer Radio talking all the news. Yesterday's Observer Live, After Dark Radio. Tonight, Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer talking Raw and all of the news. Not only all of the new shows, but it's looking like 10,000 archived shows dating back to 2005. Every show we've ever done is available for subscribers on the website. WrestlingObserver.com, $3.99. You get the Wrestling Observer newsletter every week, archives of The Observer. You can go back and read about the Monday Night Wars. You can go back and listen to Vinny and Craig and I recapping Raw and Nitro from 19 years ago this week. All of the current shows, all of the pay-per-views, everything. $3.99 from now until midnight Monday. So head up there and check it out. I promise you, you will not regret it. And that is it from here. I want to thank all of the folks at Byline. We're here every day, live and free, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. You can listen live through sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, as well as TuneIn Radio, searching Sports Byline. And check out sportsbyline.com for the full schedule of 20-something hours every week, live and free, of Wrestling Observer Live, mostly live. And that is it. Thanks, everybody, at Byline Mike, as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.